Good evening, everyone. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fayetteville, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. This is the broadcast that shelters you from the storms of life, and the more you listen, the more you know why. I'd like to welcome you to our top secret broadcasting zone in the Ozarks. The Ozark Mountains. It is good to be here, and this is our secret classified broadcasting zone. Nobody knows we're here. Probably just the government. But anyways, it's good to be here this evening. Just kind of making just trying to be a little humorous there for a second. And it's good to be here. Man, it's been a while since I did one. It seems like it's been a while since I've actually did a teaching. Yesterday I did a video, but it wasn't really a teaching per se. It was just more of just what's been on my heart and just some things that, you know, just some things that I just wanted to share. But tonight we're going to be getting into the last part of this mini-series called Jonah's Revival. And we're going to be getting into that. We're going to be kind of doing a quick recap of things. And then we're going to be getting into chapters 3 and chapters 4. So this is only going to be a three-part series. But this one might be a little bit lengthier because we're taking two chapters. Two short chapters and putting it into one teaching. So we're going to be, this video might be a little bit longer than the ones that I have done. Okay, so just bear with me. And just kind of hopefully, you know, I don't get too boring or I hope I don't lose you guys or have you guys drift off. I want to mind the Holy Ghost, and I want to just do whatever the Lord tells me to, whatever the Lord lays on my heart, and I want to be sure to get this done. I think I've carried this for a few months now, and I really haven't gotten to it because I've been busy with a lot of stuff, and life's been kind of hectic for me, so I appreciate you all bearing with me. But I think, if the Lord willing, we're just going to go ahead and finish this up, and then we're going to move on to some, and then I'll just move on to some other teachings. So, anyways, it is good to be here. I don't have any announcements. Let's see here, announcements. The only thing I can think of is not this weekend. But next weekend, I know there's a couple of churches, or there are a couple of churches that I know having their homecomings. I know Bethel Church is having their homecoming. So, and then also I do know that Church of Many Blessings, they're having their homecoming. So, you know, whatever, you know, basically just kind of. If you're in those kind of areas, stay, you know, feel free to go to them. I'm not going to tell you which one to go to. You know, I don't want to take away from one church and saying that they need to go to that church and taking that church and going to, no, I don't want to do that. But I just want to just kind of put it out there. There are a couple of churches having their camp meetings, their homecomings. So just putting it out there. Let's see here. Other than that, I don't think I have any other major announcements, but please pray for me. Actually, we're going to be getting into prayer requests, but please continue to pray for me and my ministry. And I have to apologize, the way I'm sitting, I have to kind of sit at a kind of a weird angle. And actually, I'm going to kind of do something here real quick. Okay, I'm trying to make sure that light behind isn't going to be, like, blinding to everybody. So, I want to be mindful of that. And so, my big, ugly head is going to be in the way of that light, which I don't know whether if it's good or bad, but, you know, I was just, I was just kind of making a joke. I was kind of making a funny, and that was just really bad. Anyways, so my big old head's going to be kind of in the way of that light a little bit, just so it doesn't blind anybody. Anyways, let's get to prayer requests. If you guys have any prayers or praises, either or, it doesn't have to be just prayer requests. There could be praises too. You could feel free to mention them, or if you want to just private message me on Facebook and mention your prayer requests, or if you just want to praise God for something, you know, that's, you know, whatever it might be, you know, you can feel free to share that. Brother David, good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. If you all have prayer requests or praises, you know, you can feel free to share them. But while you guys are doing that, I'm going to just go ahead and just kind of share a prayer. I'm just going to go ahead and just, I got a prayer list I'm going to kind of share here. My phone. I'm trying to get my buttons ready, so just in case if I got to use them, I'm just trying to get my buttons all set up. We might use some today. But anyways, we got a fellow sister. Please pray for her and her mother. Please pray for strength for this particular sister. She needs it. She needs prayer for strength and healing. Pray for her mother. Her mother's not doing very well. She's up in age and just really not doing very well. Please keep a fellow brother in prayer for his family and his ex-wife for salvation. We have a fellow sister that wants prayer for salvation for her father. Keep Brother Joey in prayer. I know Brother Joey, he has times where he's got pain, and I don't mind saying his name, and he don't mind me saying his name either. So keep Brother Joey in prayer. And by the way, only reason why I ever mention names, there's certain names I mention and a lot of times I don't. I'm doing it out of respect. If I know that you all don't mind me saying your name, then I will say your name. But if I really don't know, I just won't say your name. If that makes sense. I just want to be respectful. I don't want to embarrass anybody. So, Brother Joey doesn't mind me saying his name, so please keep him in prayer. Let's see, what else? Brother Mike Hoggard, he's going through some tough times now. I saw that he's got stuff going on in his life, just in his life and in the church and stuff like that, so keep Brother Mike in prayer. Keep Pastor Mike in prayer. Him and his church, pray that, you know, for God's protection and intervention with whatever might be going on. I don't know what's going on, but just I only know what I see. Okay, so just if you have any questions, you just go on Facebook and you'll see what I mean. I don't want to get into too much detail. And then we got a fellow sister that wants prayer for the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. So let's keep them in prayer. Keep me in prayer, if you will. Pray for me, as I have some things going on in my life that's kind of mind-boggling. Probably isn't really anything to be nervous about and stuff like that, but just keep me in prayer. Keep my ministry in prayer. I'm actually, since now that I moved, I am going to be focusing a lot on my ministry. Although as of right now, I'm kind of hitting some financial bumps just because it's, you know, I moved, you know, and it's gonna happen. So for the meantime, unfortunately, I'm gonna have to work a second job for a few weeks. Which evidently I have technically a second job that I sort of took a leave of absence, as you will. So I'm going to be kind of going back there for a few weeks. But I think after that, I'm going to be done. I'm just going to stay there till I can get my stuff in order. And then I'm going to just focus on the one job and then hopefully focus on ministry. I would really like to take this time in my life to really focus on prayer and preaching the word and doing videos. And if the Lord have it, and if he wills, you know, preach at other churches as well. I've so far have preached at two churches by the grace of God, and I'll tell you what, both instances were very helpful and very blessed, and just it was just stuff that God had ordained. Amen. So please pray for me on that. Pray for my ministry. Pray for all this. By the way, so that's going to be it for the prayers and praises. So if you guys have prayers and praises, you can feel free to mention them, you know. If not, that's fine. You can if you want to. It's up to you. I do have an announcement to make. Due to the nature of what's been going on in my life, I really haven't had time to actually make videos in my transition. And so in the midst of my transition, okay, it was on July 14th of this year, marked the 1 year anniversary of Fishers of Men. Okay, so 1 year anniversary. Our 1 year anniversary was July 14th. And July 14th is when I first sort of kicked off the ministry by starting back into doing videos. And so for a little over a year, I've been doing videos. So praise the Lord for that. And the Lord has really been working on this ministry for quite some time. God had enabled me to be on sermon audio. And I can tell it's been a blessing to people. So I really don't have any plans to take that out. Okay, so you pray for me on that. You pray for me on the Facebook ministry, YouTube ministry, as well as sermon audio. And I know sermon audio typically is usually believers. But if you think about it this way, I bet you there are probably people who say they're believers, but maybe either backslidden or may not even be fully born again believers. They're probably either on the cusp of being born again, or, you know, they're just, you know, they need to get born again. Amen. So sermon audio, I think, is a good tool to outreach. And who knows, you might have believers that might take messages to people who are even non-believers, flat out non-believers, and they might share them with them. So, you know, it really depends on how you see it. But God has enabled me to be on sermon audio, and he's enabled me to be on YouTube and Facebook. And I wasn't really planning on being on sermon audio. I had at least two different people approach me on that and say, well, have you ever thought of being on sermon audio? And I never really given any thought to it. So I decided, okay, you know, if you know, this is what the Lord wants, I'll go ahead and do it. Well, sure enough, I had somebody send a gift to me to get a sermon audio account. So I did. And God has just sort of made sure that sermon audio stays open. So, you know, I can tell it was something that, you know, God had ordained for me to have. And I really wasn't planning on it, but God sort of just allowed me to have one. And so, yeah, so it's been that's been a blessing. When I first got it, I literally spent 3 days. It was 3 days. I spent a whole entire weekend doing nothing but importing messages in sermon audio. And I kid you not, I was spending from Friday till about Saturday evening, Sunday, importing sermons on Sermon Audio. That's how many sermons I did when I first got that. It took me 2 to 3 days to get all those sermons on Sermon Audio. I had quite a bit of sermons I did that I had to import, and I still do. I still import them to this very day. Amen. So pray for me on that. July 14th marked the 1 year anniversary of Fishers of Men. And that's been a blessing. I hope that this ministry can be a blessing to you. I have a desire to eventually plant a church in Northwest Arkansas. A few years back, God put it on my heart to gather things together for a church. So be praying for me on that. I'll tell you what, maybe on the next broadcast or something, I'll tell you what happened. And by the way, it just so happens that on the 1 year anniversary of my ministry was actually the night that I went and preached at a church. There's a church, a pastor friend of mine pastors a small Baptist church down in Alma. And it was July 14th was when I went down to preach. And it just so happened that on my 1 year anniversary of doing this ministry, I go down and preach. And that was a blessing to me. Though I like those people. I love those people. I really do. And they just seem to really enjoy the message. Sounds like a pastor friend of mine might have me back at some point in the future to come up again and come down again and preach for his church. So praise the Lord that, you know, I may be invited back. Pray that I do, you know. And it's I tell you what, it's kind of nerve-wracking at first to go to different churches and preach, because you're really out of your comfort zone, and you're preaching in front of people that you may not know. And in that case, I really didn't know a whole lot of them, but they seemed very appreciative of my message, very responsive, and so it's pretty cool. I really enjoy it. I really enjoy preaching at different places. It'd be kind of cool to maybe preach at a revival at some point, right? Like just preach on a revival and stuff. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be preaching on that tonight. And we're going to be getting into repentance. So I might get in a little bit about repentance and a little bit of what biblical repentance is and stuff like that. So we're going to be getting into that tonight. So other than that, I think that's going to be it. So I want to take some time here real quick. I don't want to take too much time because I want to get into the message. And so I have kind of developed a layout I'm trying to do. And so bear with me on the layout. I think over time, maybe, you know, with people's input and stuff like that, you know, if the Lord wants me to tweak it a little bit, I'll tweak it a little bit. But there's a layout I'm trying to follow to make my videos a little bit more consistent, so it's not like random on each thing. You know, I want to have consistency all the way through. But anyways, I do want to kind of just take a little bit of time here and just kind of look at some things here in the news. There seems to be a lot of things in the news, but it's kind of like you kind of wonder what to say. I mean, there's too much going on, and it's just you kind of have to pick and, I mean, I hate to like say to cherry pick the news, but I think a lot of the news is really just, you know, you gotta be careful at what you say with news, because there's a lot of fake news out there, amen? And, by the way, you want to know something else, too? You know what else is fake news? New Age Bibles. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. My buttons didn't go on. Hang on. That's weird. I've got buttons on my phone. Oh, that's why. Hang on a second. Alright. So, fake news is New Age Bibles. Pun intended. The fake and phony New Age Bibles are fake news, just as much as the talking donkey Democratic CNN and all these other fake news organizations. There's a lot of fake news out there, and we got to be careful what we say and what we, basically what we say, amen? Let's talk about this Jeffrey Epstein thing. This Jeffrey Epstein apparently is on suicide watch. And I had Brother Cooley talk about this too today on his video, how it's very interesting that when you have this Mueller investigation still going on, and this testimony, and how you have a former FBI agent babbling on things that makes him look like a bozo, you have this Jeffrey Epstein thing where now he's on suicide watch, and it's interesting in how one of the things that Pastor Cooley said was there's got to be something going on with these two events, because it's very interesting how these two events are sort of overlapping each other. And I think it's what he says, and I agree with him, it's this bait and switch. And they're trying to cover something up or trying to keep some, like, on the hush-hush. And I'm telling you what, truth, one way or the other, the truth is eventually going to come out. And it may not come out right away, but I'll tell you what, on Judgment Day, things are going to come out that people may not want to. And we'll find out, and I'm going to tell you something about this Jeffrey Epps, whatever his name is, I don't know his last name. I can't pronounce it. It's some of the things I think he does. I mean, to what he's guilty of is very disgusting and abominable. And Jeffrey Epstein, he was, you had people like the Clintons associated with him. Even President Trump was associated with him. President Trump, our president, had some sort of association with Jeffrey Epstein, the pervert, the sick pervert. And I think that's a little, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's dealt with me on being careful who you're associated with. And if there's any advice I can give to President Trump, it's this. Be careful who you associate yourself with. Because there are people who are about as sick and perverted as anything else. And associating yourself with them is really going to end up shooting yourself in the foot. Amen? So we got to be careful who we associate with, and we have to be careful and be mindful at, you know, we have to be mindful of that. Amen. But I think this whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, you know, I think it's interesting how he tries to commit suicide. I think Here's what I think. I think he knows he's guilty, and he got caught. So he's in trouble. And he's trying to commit suicide to get out of it. Well, if he commits suicide, knowing that he's not born again, he's going to end up in hell. And I'm going to tell you something. I think that's really sad. I think somebody needs to go in there and they need to preach the gospel to him. Somebody needs to go in there and preach the gospel to him and tell him to repent of his sins and that Jesus loves him, that Jesus can forgive him of his sin, and that, you know, he can know for sure that heaven would be his home if he were to die tonight. You know why? Because my Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by the way, Jeffrey Epstein is a whosoever. He might be the most world sick pervert on the face of this earth, but he himself needs Jesus Christ. The Clintons need Jesus Christ. Trump, President Trump, needs Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of our leaders, including the talking donkey Democrats, need Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need to pray that these people get saved, because they need to get saved. Amen. But they're so hard-hearted, they may not get saved. Anyways, so I think we're going to be done for the news, because I don't want to go too much onto that. Okay, the topic of the day, Jonah's revival. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. And really quickly, I'm not going to go into an in-depth review, but let's just review quickly. So we see that God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach, the preaching that God would have him preach. We see that he disobeys. He deliberately goes the other way and causes a storm to come. We see that Jonah sinned against God. We see that God had chastised Jonah by a big fish. And no, God did not take a big fish and slap Jonah in the face. That didn't happen. What I mean by chastise, meaning God used a big fish to swallow Jonah. So Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale. We then see that when Jonah was in this fish's belly, Jonah cried out in repentance of his sin. And God caused the fish to vomit Jonah out of his mouth. And we're going to see coming up here tonight, we're going to pick up where that leaves off. Now, we talked a little bit about revival. We talked about that revival can't happen if there is no repentance. And so, in other words, that true revival, in order to have true biblical revival, there has to be a true repentance. There has to be a genuine repentance. Okay? And now, some people have this misconception that repentance is a change of mind. Okay, well, yes, it is a change of mind, but it's not like, oh, well, you know, whatever. Okay, but genuine biblical repentance is a confessing of your sin and turning away from your sin. And so what we see in Jonah is that when Jonah sinned, Jonah repented of his sin. He repented of his sin, and guess what? He turned away from it because he eventually began to be obedient to what God wanted him to do. Amen? So, if you're already at Jonah chapter 3, let's start in verse 1. It says this, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I have bid thee." Let's stop right there. We see that God told Jonah a second time. Okay? We see this because Jonah, he rebelled the first time. Now, I don't know about you, but it would be, if God tells you to do something, I think it would be wise for us to be obedient to what God tells us the first time. In other words, I think it would be wise and obedient and very expedient for you to listen to God and just do what He tells you the first time. You know how sometimes when we grow up, you know, our parents tell us, don't make me have to tell you the second time. Well, I mean, sometimes that could work, but I really tend to think that if parents tell their kids to do something and they don't listen, I think that there needs to come spanking for that child. Because I think the parents should only have to be able to tell them once. And by the way, this is what we see with God and Jonah. Jonah rebelled against God, and you know what God did? He chastised Jonah. He did it by having a big fish swallow him, and he repented of his sin. God made Jonah sorry for what he did. And then God told him the second time to go preach. So when God tells you to do something, I think it's wise that we do it the first time around and not having to wait till God tells us a second time. Amen? So, we need to be mindful. Let's be mindful about that, because I think even myself, we all struggle with that. We tend to be lazy because of our flesh. We have a flesh nature. Amen? But let me tell you something. Just because God chastises you does not mean he doesn't love you anymore. I mean, God loves you to where He does chastise you. Amen? So, let's be wise. When God tells us to do something, we need to do it. Amen. And we should be able to do something without delay. Now, in verse 3 it says, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord." Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yep, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Okay. Whew. Sorry. So it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth, for the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth and satin ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither men nor beasts, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands, Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Now, let me tell you something. How many of you guys watching agree or would agree that America is in big trouble? You know, America has such great wickedness. We have become an abomination in the sight of God. Why is this? Because our nation has murdered babies. We've allowed the lettuce, gravy, bacon, tomato, queso community to run everywhere and get married, which is unlawful and unbiblical marriage. And we've allowed all of these other things to take place in our nation. We have such great perversions in this nation. And I'm going to tell you something. America needs Jonahs to stand up and start preaching against the sins of this nation. Now listen. Trump said that he wants to make America great again. Trump is not going to make America great again. Now you might say, well, Brandon, how dare you say that? I voted for Trump. I like him. He's done a lot of good. Well, sure he has. Trump has done a lot of good. But you know, he's also promoted a lot of sin too. Trump, he may not be perfect, but he's made the choice to promote the lettuce, gravy, bacon, tomato, queso community in such a way that he wants to protect them from hate speech. I'm sorry, I can't promote that. Now, there are things that President Trump is doing that I don't care for. And yes, Trump has done a lot of work. He's a hard-working president, and he's done a lot of work. And he's done good. I'm not saying he hasn't. But Trump is not going to make America great again. He's not. He can talk about how great the economy is. He can talk about the jobs that he brought back. But we're still in sin. I want you guys to hold your spots here. Hold your spots in Jonah. Jonah chapter 4. I want you to hold your spots there. And turn with me to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Okay. If you want to make America great again, this is how you do it. Okay. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, we have to understand, what is this verse? What group of people is this verse being aimed at? It's being aimed at us, isn't it? It's being aimed at people who are God's people, born again Christians. It's talking about us. It's talking about us believers. It's not talking about non-believers. Okay, I'll prove it. Let's go back to that verse. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, my people. Okay, let me tell you something. when you read the book of Jonah, how was it that Jonah was able to have a revival break out in Nineveh? Well, he was able to have a revival to break out in Nineveh because Jonah repented of his sin first, didn't he? Jonah repented of his sins first. Why? Because Jonah was disobedient. He was negligent. He was disobedient. He was rebellious. God chastised him for it. God made him sorry, and therefore Jonah repented of his sin. Amen. Now, let's see here. There's a verse I want to share with you that I think correlates really well with this, okay? I think it's in Peter. Here we go. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "For the time has come that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" You see, Jonah had judgment, didn't he? Okay? Jonah had a judgment. And what was that? He was chastised of the Lord. And the Bible talks about that too. It says, let's see here. Where is it? I can't find it. Let's see here. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Now, when we are judged, we are chastised by God. Okay? That's what happened to Jonah. Jonah represents God's people. He rebelled, didn't he? Judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if it begin with us, how much more to them that believe not the gospel of God? Jonah is an excellent, excellent example of that verse. Okay? Jonah was judged. He was chastised. And God brought a big whale, a big fish to swallow him. And he repented. Therefore, when he repented of his sin, God was able to get him on track. And he went and preached a message to Nineveh. And when he did, the Ninevites turned from their wicked ways to God. And God said, "I won't destroy them." And we see that in chapter 3. Now, in chapter 4, as we read it here in chapter 4, Jonah was not pleased by that. He was very displeased. He was very upset that God didn't destroy Nineveh. He had a very bad attitude about it. So, with that said, I want us to go back to Jonah. Okay, Jonah chapter 4. Okay, we're going to start in verse 1. And it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and a great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." See, when Jonah knew that God was very gracious, very forgiving, but his attitude was Jonah knew that, but he got very angry at God because he was hoping that God would wipe out Nineveh. So you see, he had a bad attitude towards God because God didn't do what Jonah wanted him to do. Now my question is, have you ever had a time when you prayed, or maybe you were expecting God to do something the way you wanted him to do it, and God didn't do it? Is there a time where you just got mad and angry and said, "Well, why didn't you do it this way?" You see, I think it's very foolish for us to get mad at God because he didn't do it our way. Okay? We have to be very careful on that, okay? Let's see here. Here we go. Isaiah 55:8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Isaiah, in verse 9, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see, we need to be careful at not having God do things our ways, because his ways are a lot different than our ways. Amen. We are not to lean on our own understanding. We are to trust and obey God. Trust and obey, for there is no other way but to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. God wants us to trust in him and obey what he wants us to do. And Jonah had a bad attitude. Jonah had a bad attitude because he was hoping that God would do what he said he was going to do and not repent of the evil. But God is a gracious God. He's long-suffering, isn't he? God is very long-suffering. For some reason, this video cut out, so we'll see how it goes. But God is very long-suffering. And we need to be careful to not get angry at God if he doesn't do things our way. Because we're sinners. And our ways are wicked. God's ways are good and pure and holy. So let us be careful to not get angry at God because he won't do things our way. You see, Jonah had a very bad attitude, and God was even gracious to Jonah. So let's continue reading. We'll see as we read on through the rest of this chapter, we're going to see how gracious God was to Jonah. Okay? Then said, in verse 4 of Jonah chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would happen, or what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat up on the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You see, Jonah had a really bad attitude because God went and judged Nineveh. You see, I think the approach that Jonah could have taken was that he could have gone and preached the preaching that God told him, and then when they repented, that Jonah could have rejoiced with the Ninevites and said, and rejoiced that they repented of their sin. He could have been happy that they repented of their sin and God wouldn't destroy them. But he had a wrong spirit about him. I mean, Jonah was a man of God and he was God-fearing, but he had a bad attitude. He had a wrong attitude, and there was a wrong spirit about his attitude. There's a wrong spirit about his attitude that, you know, shouldn't have been. Okay? Really quickly, this brings me something to the gospel, what Jesus said to his disciples. Let's see here. I've got to find it. It's in the New Testament. Let's see here. I gotta find it here real quick. Okay, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Luke chapter 9, verse 54. It says here, it says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You see, Jonah was hoping that God would just wipe out the Ninevites, because the Ninevites were wicked people. I mean, they were wicked as hell. And God told Jonah to go down and preach to them. And eventually he did. And when he did, the Ninevites turned from their sin and turned to God. They repented of their sin and they turned to God. And Jonah wasn't satisfied with it, because Jonah knew that God was gracious and long-suffering and forgiving. And he was hoping to have, and he was hoping that God would wipe out the Ninevites. But just as when Jesus said, he said to his disciples, that he said to John and James and John, he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. You see, Jonah was hoping that judgment would come down on Nineveh and destroy them. But Jonah didn't know what spirit he was of. He didn't know what manner of spirit he was of. And when Jesus said to, and Jesus continued on, he said to his disciples, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. You see, that's what God wants. That's what God's heart wants. He wants to save people from their sin. God's heart and God's desire was to have the Ninevites saved. Okay. Let's go back to Jonah. And then we'll close. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? God wanted them to be, wanted for them to repent and be saved. God didn't want to destroy that nation. He didn't. He wanted them to repent of their sin. But Jonah didn't know what manner of spirit he was, and wanted God to destroy Nineveh. Just as Jesus rebuked his two disciples for wanting to call down fire to consume them by saying, ye know not what spirit ye are of, and told them that the Son of Man has come to not destroy men's lives, but to save, is very similar how God rebuked Jonah for his bad behavior. Now I want to say this. I want to close. Is there anyone here? Is there anyone here that needs to get right with God? Is there anyone here that's watching that needs to get right with God? Because today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You need to get right with God before it's too late. You need to repent of your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. Believer, I want to challenge you with something. When God tells you to do something, let's do it the first time. Amen? Let's not delay. And we like to delay because, you know, our flesh. And by the way, God can make up the timing. He can redeem the time. But that should not, we should not use that as an excuse to slack off. Amen. And there's things, and even God deals with me on that too. Amen. We need to, when God tells us to do something, He wants us to do it. Amen. But believer, if there's something in your life that you need to get right with God, now is the time to get it right. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, seek my face and pray, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Will you repent of your sin, believer? Will you turn back to Christ? For those of you that don't know, if you don't know that if you were to die tonight, that you would go to heaven, if you are not saved, you can know for sure that heaven would be home. If you want to know for sure that heaven will be your home when you die, you need to become born again. Okay? You need to become born again. Really quickly, John chapter 3. Turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. If you're not born again today, you can know for sure that if you were to die, heaven will be your home. And how do you become born again? It's simply going before the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, well, admitting that you are a sinner, repenting of your sins, asking the Lord to forgive you of your sins, asking Him to cleanse you of your sins, asking Him to be the Lord and Savior of your heart and life. But most importantly, believing that He died for you at the cross and that He took that punishment upon Himself. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, and you believe that He came to do what He came to do, you'll be saved. Amen. It's not hard. It's very simple. If you know that you're going to hell and God is convicting you, cry out to Him. Ask Him. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive you. But most importantly, put your faith and trust in what He did for you at the cross. Amen. Put your faith and trust in what He did for you at the cross. Now listen, I don't want you guys taking everything I say for truth. I want you to take what I say and you match it with this Bible. If what I say does not match with this Bible, then let God be true and Brandon be a liar. If I'm wrong, God will chasten me for it, and one of these days I will have to stand before Him and give an account. But if I am right, that I ask that he will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen. I'm going to play a verse or two of invitation. Amazing Grace. It's only 26 seconds long. I'm going to play it to you twice. But while the music is playing, I want you to think about these things. Don't learn from me, but learn from God. Let God's word penetrate your heart. Amen. If you need to get right with God, now is the time to get right. Tomorrow may be too late. Listen, I love you guys. I hope that I can be a blessing to you. Hope this video was a blessing to you. I hope that you got something from this video. Listen, I'm not here to pick on anybody. I gotta tell the truth as it is. You know, the important thing about being a watchman is when you see trouble coming, you need to blow the horn. And if we fail to blow the horn, when we see trouble coming, when we see the enemy coming, if we fail to blow the horn and there are people who get taken out because of it, their blood is going to be required at our hands. And what I'm saying is, as watchmen, we have an obligation to tell people the truth. For it is better to obey God rather than man. Amen. So listen, I hope that you guys were blessed by this video. Pray for me. Don't really have a whole lot of announcements. We had a 1 year anniversary. This ministry had its 1 year anniversary on the 14th of July. And it was really fun. I had the opportunity to preach at a church on the one-year anniversary of Fishers of Men. It was a lot of fun. It was a blast. But other than that, I really don't have anything. I want to thank you all for those who tune in, who will be tuning in, and pray for me, pray for the ministry, pray for my videos, pray for the Facebook ministry, YouTube ministry, sermon audio ministry. Pray for all three of those. Pray that God will take and do with it as He wills and as He pleases. Amen. And listen, guys, I love you and I care for you, but I need to speak the truth, regardless of how unpopular it might be. Amen. With that said, I love you guys. This is Brother Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. God bless you guys. Love you. We'll see you next time. God bless you guys. See ya. Bye.